Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today we are going to be tackling a really, really big topic, and I'm actually pretty excited about this one. We are going to be diving deep into the world of Chinese characters.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like, we grew up with alphabets, right? Like A, B, C, D, you just string those letters together to make words, but Chinese characters, that is a whole other world.
Yeah.
So today we are going to try to unpack how they work, what this thing called pinyin is all about, and we will even touch on some interesting cultural stuff too.
That sounds great.
All without making your head spin, hopefully.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of people have the misconception that Chinese has an alphabet, but the truth is that it doesn't.
Right, right.
What we call characters in Chinese are actually called hanzi, and that's H-A-N-Z-I, and they represent entire concepts. They don't represent individual sounds like letters in an alphabet would.
Okay, so instead of building words up from letters, each character just like packs in the whole meaning, like all at once. So if I see the character for a mountain, I just like get it. I don't have to sound it out.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Wow.
Think of the character for mountain. It's written like this.
Okay, I see it.
It looks like a mountain.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
It's a simplified picture.
Like a pictogram.
A pictograph.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Which is actually one of the main types of Chinese characters.
Oh, okay.
There are a bunch of different types.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they're like little visual puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And once you understand how those pieces fit together,
mm-hmm.
it kind of opens up a whole new way of thinking about language.
I love that, visual puzzles.
Yeah.
I have also heard that some characters combine both meaning and sound. So is that what pictophonetic characters are?
Yes.
Okay.
Pictophonetic characters are super fascinating because they give you clues about both the meaning and the pronunciation. So take the character for mother, for example. Part of this character is A, which means horse.
Horse, okay.
Now, horse doesn't really have anything to do with mother, right?
Right.
It's there for the sound.
Okay.
The other part is O, which means female.
Right.
And that gives you the meaning. So you have the sound from horse and the meaning from female, and that's all packaged into a single character.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So instead of like just memorizing a bunch of random symbols, you can actually see the logic behind them.
Exactly, yeah. And as you learn more and more characters, you start to notice these patterns and these connections.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that Chinese characters aren't just arbitrary symbols. They're really visual representations of how the Chinese language categorizes and connects ideas.
Okay, so this is already blowing my mind. I know we are going to get into pinyin a little bit later, but can we stick with the building blocks of these characters?
Sure.
Those things called radicals. Can we talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, radicals are super important.
Mm-hmm.
They're like recurring elements that give you hints about a character's meaning.
Okay.
One of the most common is the water radical, written like this. And you'll see it in characters that are related to water. So like four for river or for sea.
So I guess it's almost like radicals provide a framework for organizing all these different characters. They're not just random squiggles. They have like meaning built into them.
Exactly. Exactly. And what's even more interesting is that these radicals have evolved over thousands of years, reflecting changes in Chinese society and culture.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So by understanding the evolution of these radicals, you can actually trace the history of Chinese thought and how people have conceptualized the world around them.
That's incredible. It's like each character carries a little piece of history.
Yeah.
I'm definitely starting to see why learning Chinese characters is considered such a huge brain workout.
Right.
But before we get too deep into the history of it all, can we talk about the elephant in the room, tones?
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
I hear those tones can be pretty tricky.
The tones, yeah. They're a really defining feature of Mandarin Chinese, and they can definitely be a big challenge for new learners.
Right.
In Mandarin, there are four main tones and a neutral tone.
Okay.
And they can completely change the meaning of a word. For example, the syllable ma can have several different meanings depending on the tone that you use.
It's almost like you are singing when you say ma with all those different tones. It's like it gives the language a musicality.
Yeah.
But how does someone like me, who's used to just speaking in one tone, how do I even begin to understand those different inflections?
It takes practice, for sure. But there's a tool that can help us out.
Okay, what's that?
Pinyin.
Pinyin. Okay. So that's the system that uses our Roman alphabet to represent Chinese sounds, right?
Exactly.
I've played around with it a little bit. It definitely makes things easier.
Yeah, it's a lifesaver for learners, especially when it comes to navigating those tricky tones. It's a system that uses Roman letters to represent the sounds of Mandarin Chinese.
Ooh.
And it includes these little marks above the vowels that indicate the different tones.
Okay, so pinyin doesn't replace the characters. It just gives us like a roadmap for how to pronounce them, how to understand the tones.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense. But I am still curious, like, how does pinyin actually work? Can you walk me through some examples? Like, show me how those little tone marks can change the meaning of a word.
Of course, yeah. Let's stick with our friend ma. If you see ma with a flat line above it, that means mother.
Okay.
Change that to a rising tone, like this, ma. You've got hemp.
Hemp, okay.
A dipping tone, mei-ni, gives you horse. And a falling tone, ma, means to scold.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, those tone marks are very, very important.
Wow, that's a really good example of how just one syllable can have all these totally different meanings. And it all depends on the tone. It's like you have to like crack a code to understand what's being said. But it's really cool, though. It makes Chinese sound so expressive and dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. And pinyin is a great place to start for understanding those nuances.
Okay.
Now, once you got a grasp of pinyin, you could start tackling the characters themselves.
Yeah.
And that's where those radicals we were talking about before come in handy.
Right, right. So those radicals can help us understand not just the meaning of characters, but also like how they're pronounced.
Exactly. Remember how we were talking about some characters being pictophonic?
Yeah.
Well, those phonetic components often contain radicals that give you clues about the pronunciation. It's like having a pronunciation guide built right into the character.
That's so clever. It's like those ancient scribes were thinking like way ahead of their time.
Right.
Creating a system where the characters themselves reveal their secrets, you know, if you know what to look for. So for a beginner, would you recommend like focusing on those pictophonetic characters first?
Yeah, that's a really great strategy. By understanding how those pictophonetic characters work, you can unlock the pronunciation and the meaning of a huge number of characters. It's like having a key that opens many, many doors in the Chinese language.
It's all about recognizing the patterns, those phonetic components.
Exactly.
And using those to your advantage.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the power of writing practice. The act of physically writing the characters, paying attention to the stroke order, really helps solidify that connection between the visual form and the meaning.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like you're training your brain to recognize those intricate patterns.
You know, it's funny. I've heard people say that writing Chinese characters is almost like meditative.
Uh-huh.
It forces you to like slow down and be present in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a certain mindfulness to it, a focus on precision and detail. Mm-hmm. And it's a really great way to immerse yourself in the beauty of the language.
Speaking of beauty, we've been so focused on like the mechanics of how characters work that I almost forgot to ask, like, how did this whole system even come about? What's the history, the story behind the evolution of Chinese characters?
Well, that's a question that takes us back thousands of years.
Yeah.
The earliest forms of Chinese characters that we know of are called oracle bone script.
Okay.
And they date back to the Shang Dynasty. That was around 1600 to 1046 BCE.
Wow, that's ancient.
Yeah.
So what did those early characters look like? Were they as complex as the characters that we see today?
They were a lot more pictographic, often resembling the objects that they represented.
Hmm.
So imagine seeing a character for sun that actually looked like a circle with rays coming out of it, or a character for tree that looked like a simplified drawing of a tree.
Wow.
Yeah. It's fascinating to see how those early scribes captured the essence of things in such a visually striking way.
It's like they were painting pictures with words.
Yeah.
So how did those early pictographs turn into the more complex characters that we see today?
Over many centuries, as the Chinese language developed, those simple pictographs gradually became more abstract and stylized. New characters were created by combining existing ones. And radicals, you know those radicals that we were talking about before?
Right.
Those emerged as a way to categorize and organize that growing number of characters. It was a really dynamic process with characters constantly adapting to the changing needs of the language and the culture.
It's like this living, breathing system that's always evolving.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And I know there are different types of Chinese characters that are used today, right? Like simplified and traditional.
That's right.
What's the story there?
Simplified characters were introduced in mainland China in the mid-20th century as part of a literacy campaign.
Oh, okay.
They were designed to be easier to learn and write. with fewer strokes than traditional characters.
Okay.
Now, traditional characters are still used in places like Taiwan, Hong Kong, and overseas Chinese communities.
Right.
And they're seen as preserving the beauty and the complexity of the original writing system.
So it's almost like two branches of the same tree.
Yeah.
Each with its own, like, unique beauty and historical significance.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see how a writing system can reflect those cultural and political changes.
You know, we've been talking a lot about the history and the structure of Chinese characters, but I'm also curious about the, you know, the cognitive benefits of learning this language. It could actually, like, change the way your brain works.
Right.
Is there any truth to that?
There's a growing body of research that suggests that learning Chinese can have really profound effects on the brain.
Oh, wow.
For example, some studies have shown that it can improve memory, enhance problem-solving skills, and even boost creativity.
That's amazing. So yeah. What is it about Chinese that makes it such a brain booster?
Well, unlike alphabetic languages where you're mostly processing sounds, Chinese requires you to engage with visual patterns and conceptual thinking. So you're constantly making connections between the visual form of a character, its meaning, and its pronunciation. This multifaceted processing seems to stimulate different areas of the brain, leading to enhanced cognitive function.
So it's not just about learning a new language. It's like rewiring your brain to think in whole new ways.
Yeah, it is. And beyond those cognitive benefits, there's also the immense cultural richness that comes with learning Chinese. You gain access to this huge body of literature, art, and philosophy that's shaped human civilization for centuries.
It's like opening a door to a whole new world
of
knowledge and understanding. And the more you learn, the more you realize how much more there is to discover. It's a lifelong journey.
It is. It is.
So for our listeners who might be feeling a little overwhelmed right now, is there a way to approach learning Chinese that feels less intimidating, maybe even a little fun?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about finding resources and methods that work for you. There are tons of apps and online courses, even podcasts like this one, that can make learning Chinese engaging and accessible. And don't be afraid to experiment. Some people learn best through flashcards. Others prefer immersion, like through movies and music. The key is to find what sparks your interest and what makes you want to keep coming back for more.
I think that's great advice for learning anything new, really. It's got to be enjoyable or you're just not going to stick with it. And I imagine there are a lot of resources out there that tap into the visual and artistic nature of Chinese characters, maybe even using calligraphy as a learning tool.
You're right. Calligraphy is a beautiful art form that's really deeply intertwined with Chinese culture, and it's a fantastic way to learn characters. By practicing the strokes and appreciating the aesthetic qualities of each character, you can develop a deeper understanding of its form and meaning.
I've always been fascinated by calligraphy. It's like a dance between the brush and the paper. And the characters themselves become works of art. And I bet that focusing on the visual aspects of the characters can make them easier to remember, too.
Yeah, definitely. Our brains are wired to process visual information really, really efficiently. So when you connect a character's meaning to its visual form, it just creates a much stronger memory trace. It's like creating a mental picture that you can easily recall later on.
So even if you're not a calligraphy master, just the act of practicing those strokes can help kind of solidify those characters in your mind.
Exactly.
That's really helpful to know.
And remember, learning Chinese is a journey, not a race. So don't get discouraged if you don't master it overnight. Mm-hmm. Just enjoy the process of discovery and appreciate the richness of this incredible language.
I think that's such an important point, to focus on the journey and celebrate those small victories along the way. And who knows? Maybe by diving into this deep dive today, we've sparked a newfound curiosity in our listeners, a desire to explore the world of Chinese characters and unlock the secrets that they hold.
I hope so. Because if there's one thing that we've learned today, it's that Chinese characters are more than just a writing system. They're a window into a different way of thinking, a different way of perceiving the world. They're a testament to the power of human creativity and the enduring beauty of language.
Beautifully said. And for our listeners who are eager to continue this journey of discovery, we've included some really great resources in the show notes. You'll find links to online courses, calligraphy tutorials, and even some fun apps that can help you get started learning Chinese today.
So don't be shy. Dive in and explore. You might be surprised at what you discover.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the fascinating world of Chinese characters. We hope you enjoyed the journey as much as we did. Until next time, keep those minds curious and those deep dives going.